Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It is Friday, the 9th of January. This is Michael Collins Piper here live tonight. No rebroadcast. Sorry I missed the show last evening, folks. Got tied up, actually out trying to pick up a new book, which has been reviewed in a number of places, but guess what? It hasn't been published yet. That's how the publishing racket works. Well, in any case, I didn't get back in time, but I trust you heard a good rebroadcast. I would like to think all of our broadcasts are good. Well, I got a letter from one of our regular listeners today. She's always a very interesting correspondent, and she concluded our letter by saying, 2009 already sucks. Well, actually, for me personally, 2009 has pretty much been a pretty good year, but I'll tell you what, thank God, and I don't mean this as an insult to the Palestinians, thank God I'm not a Palestinian. Let's all say a prayer for our Christian and Muslim brothers and sisters in Palestine, because God knows if anybody needs a prayer, they do. You know, Israel is really showing itself for what it is. Zionism, which is an outgrowth of Judaism, it's the predominant force within Judaism today. It's showing its, rearing its ugly head as perhaps it's never reared its ugly head before. Listen to this, ladies and gentlemen. This is by Ethan Bronner, writing in the New York Times. Mr. Bronner is Jewish, and the New York Times is certainly a Jewish-owned newspaper, which is noted for its sympathies for Israel. This is the lead story in the New York Times. It says, international aid groups lashed out at Israel on Thursday over the war in Gaza, saying that access to civilians in need is poor, relief workers are being hurt and killed, and Israel is woefully neglecting its obligations to Palestinians who are trapped, some among rotting corpses in a nightmarish landscape of deprivation. That's the New York Times, folks, not the Nazi press release. The New York Times says the United Nations declared a suspension of its aid operations after one of its drivers was killed and two others were wounded, despite driving United Nations-flagged vehicles and coordinating their movements with the Israeli military. The United Nations Secretary General Ban Ki-moon called for an investigation by Israel for a second time in a week after the more than 40 deaths near a United Nations school from Israeli tank fire on Tuesday. The International Committee of the Red Cross reported finding what it called shocking scenes on Wednesday, including four emaciated children next to the bodies of their dead mothers. In a rare and sharply critical statement, it said it believed that the Israeli military failed to meet its obligation under international humanitarian law to care for and evacuate the wounded. End of story. That's not the end of the story. That's the end of what I'm going to read to you from the New York Times, not from the Nazi Herald, not from the Anti-Semitic Weekly, not from folks. Look, if the New York Times is reporting this, folks, if the Red Cross, which is always apolitical, if the Red Cross is saying this, this just goes to show you how down low and dirty the Israelis are. It's that simple, ladies and gentlemen. Of course, the Israelis and their supporters around the planet are up in arms now at the Vatican. The Vatican said some nasty about Israel and its activities in Gaza, and oh my God. Well, next thing you know, we're going to read next week that the Vatican was part of the Holocaust, that the Vatican helped bring about the Holocaust, that the Vatican helped kill 6 million Jews, or was it 9 or 10 or 12 or 15, and that they're setting the stage for another Holocaust. No, if anybody's setting the stage for a Holocaust of the Jews, it's the government of Israel and the government of the United States, because Israel is standing alone with the United States against the entire world. I'd hate to be a Jew, ladies and gentlemen, because as the Jewish popular song in Israel once said, the whole world is against us. And guess what, folks? That's absolutely true.
Would you walk around with your credit card number displayed on your back for anyone to read? Of course not. But if you have one of the 50 million new contactless credit and debit cards in circulation in your wallet, that's exactly what you're doing. I'm Walt Augustinowicz, founder of Identity Stronghold, and we think this is information you need to know. You may not even realize you already have one of these cards because they look physically just like the old card. The difference is an RFID chip hidden inside the card that makes radio communication with the card possible right through your wallet, purse, or pants pocket without you ever removing the card. Pickpockets no longer even have to touch you to get your information. Our company realizes the privacy danger this represents, and that's why we manufacture the Secure Sleeve. The Secure Sleeve is a patent-pending card sleeve that contains a radio frequency barrier, preventing radio signals from reaching your card. You can get more information and purchase the Secure Sleeve online at idstronghold.com. That's idstronghold.com, or call us at 800-610-2770.
Hi, this is Tommy John. I may not be pitching for the major leagues anymore, but that doesn't mean I don't like to stay active. But like you, I get those pesky joint pains that come with age. So I take GoFlex. GoFlex is the 1-2 punch to knock out pain. It has an FDA-approved cream to quickly relieve joint pain and a doctor-approved vitamin that will guard your mobility and flexibility. So if you're suffering from pains associated with arthritis or the aches that come with age, GoFlex will help you. I know firsthand what pain is like. Years ago, they did a surgery on my arm so famous that they named it after me, the Tommy John surgery. Today, I don't let joint pain slow me down, and neither should you. If you're suffering from minor aches and pains, even the kind associated with arthritis, try GoFlex, risk-free. Thanks to GoFlex, even at my age, I can still throw batting practice.
To order GoFlex risk-free, dial 800-362-5848. That's 800-362-5848. 800-362-5848.
Toxic heavy metals. They're in the air we breathe, water we drink, our food, products we use, objects we touch, and they negatively impact our health by building up within the body over time. But now, toxic metals can be mobilized in a safe, effective manner with Kelarex from scienceformulas.com. Kelarex is an oral chelator developed from Dr. Alan Greenberg's clinical experience with heavy metal poisoning during his 25 years of medical practice. Kelarex contains absolutely zero synthetic chelation agents, which frequently cause adverse side effects. Kelarex contains all natural ingredients that enhance the body's natural mechanisms for excreting heavy metals and protects against reabsorption. Kelarex effectively mobilizes mercury, aluminum, lead, and 15 other heavy metals. Try Kelarex now from scienceformulas.com with this RBN special offer. Purchase two bottles, get one free with free shipping. Limited time offer. Go to scienceformulas.com. That's scienceformulas.com. Kelarex. Chelation of toxic heavy metals the way nature intended.
Check it out on the internet at AmericanFreePress.net. You know, folks, there are a lot of radio programs out here and people writing on the internet and writing books and articles preaching against Zionism, preaching against the Jewish people, preaching criticisms of Israel, but I would like to think that this program is one that is offering solutions to the problem. I candidly acknowledge that I am a critic of Israel, and I have now announced my firm support for Hamas against Israel. No one in their right mind could do, no one who wouldn't be in their right mind could do otherwise, looking at the brutality of what's going on there. Yes, I am a firm supporter of Hamas. I pray for Hamas, the victory by Hamas. No, I'm not supplying arms or tactical support to Hamas. I'm not breaking any laws. I am praying for Hamas to win a great victory. But my point of view, ladies and gentlemen, is I'm not here to condemn Jewish people. I don't want to take away the rights of Jewish people. I'm simply asking them, all of them, there's quite a few of them who are holding out a hand of friendship to the non-Jewish world. I'm inviting all of the Jewish people to join the community of mankind and to give up their ways that are being demonstrated here in Palestine. We're trying to find a solution to the problem of anti-Jewish feelings, and I think we understand that the anti-Jewish feelings are emanating from the fact that historically Jewish people have gotten themselves in trouble precisely because they and their leaders have exercised inordinate power in a lot of ways, financial and otherwise, and this happened even before the rise of the State of Israel, ladies and gentlemen. So Israel is just a part of the problem. Now, it's very, very interesting, folks. You know, it was Thomas Jefferson, the author of the Declaration of Independence, ladies and gentlemen. This is a man who very fervently believed in freedom of religion. Thomas Jefferson has been highly praised by many, many Jewish writers for his early support for freedom of religion on American soil. But at the same time, as I've told you time and again, Thomas Jefferson believed that the Jewish religion was a depraved religion. I share his view, ladies and gentlemen. I reject the Jewish religion in its entirety because we've seen the consequences of that religion being put into practice. Now, I just got an email today from Mark Glenn sending me an article written by a very valiant Jewish writer. He's an entertainer, Gilad Altzmon, A-T-Z-M-O-N. He's a big critic of what he sees today, and he points out quite correctly that what's happening in Palestine, what's happening in Gaza in particular today, is just precisely what the Jews claimed that their God told them to do to the non-Jews. If you look in the pages of the Old Testament, that's where they got their direction. They're putting it into practice today. You know, it's kind of funny because in the Washington Times, Congressman Steny Hoyer of Maryland, the majority leader, Democratic House Majority Leader, and House Republican Whip Eric Cantor, who is an Orthodox Jew, very good conservative, quote-unquote, strong supporter of Israel. He was even considered as John McCain's vice presidential running mate. They have written an article entitled, A Defensive War, Israel's Determined Enemies Leave It No Option. And here's the payoff, ladies and gentlemen. They're attacking Hamas specifically, but they say a culture that celebrates death is only too happy to sacrifice its own people for the sake of rallying world support. Ladies and gentlemen, you look at the Jewish holidays, that is a culture that celebrates death. The Book of Esther, celebrated at Purim, celebrates the slaughter of 75,000 Persian people because the Jews were mad at one man, Haman. The Jewish holiday Hanukkah is a celebration of a military victory. That is a culture that celebrates death. So I would suggest this Mr. Eric Cantor had better put up or shut up. Same with Steny Hoyer, well, that's another story altogether. Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, I know there's a lot of you out there hearing what I have to say, and you're cringing. They're saying, not all Jews are bad, and I'm not saying all Jews are bad. I'm saying the Jewish religion is bad, but the fact is a lot of Jews don't even believe in the Jewish religion. That's their choice. Some of them consider themselves atheists and yet still consider themselves Jews culturally. I mean, we could get into all sorts of debates. I know there are those of you who are out there saying, but the Jews of today, they're not the real Jews of the Bible, and the Khazars came in from Eastern Europe, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Well, folks, listen. I was on a radio show the other day on another network, and it was a very good program. I enjoyed doing the show, and I got an email from somebody who asked me, they said, have you determined in your own judgment whether it's the Sephardic Jews or the Ashkenazi Jews who were the bad guys, more or less? That's what they were saying. And again, it comes back to this element of confusion that's out there about a lot of things relating to these controversial areas of Jews and religion and money and power and politics and Zionism and communism. Well, remember, folks, even though the Ashkenazi Jews are from Europe, many of them are of Khazar descent, but not necessarily all of them, not even necessarily majority of them, ladies and gentlemen. We hear about the Khazars all the time. The fact is that in Israel today, some of the hardest line supporters of the hard line elements surrounding Netanyahu and Likud and even Kadima, the other party over there, these people are the Sephardic Jews who are the quote-unquote Oriental Jews or the Jews of Middle Eastern origin. So some of you may want to believe, oh, well, the Sephardic Jews are the real Jews of the Bible. They're the good Jews, as opposed to the Ashkenazi Jews who are the bad Jews. Those are the words of other people, not myself. The fact is, it's not as simple as many people want to think. And in fact, if you find the anti-Zionist rabbis of Nutra Karta, most of them are of Ashkenazi Jewish origin. They are of Khazar origin. So folks, you can't just separate it and say it's not black and white. It's not black and white. Now, I know, again, what I'm saying is uncomfortable listening for a lot of you, but I'm just talking facts. And I'm here to tell you that when Abe Foxman hears people saying, Abe Foxman, the Anti-Defamation League, hears people saying, oh, well, I'm just against the Zionists, those evil Ashkenazis who are really Khazars, but I support the real good Sephardic Jews who are the real Jews from Palestine. I want to tell you something, folks. Abe Foxman doesn't care what you think. Abe Foxman doesn't go along with your thinking, and that doesn't divorce you from being charged with quote-unquote anti-Semitism or being anti-Jewish. No, it's not that simple, folks. This is like so many of the things that we talk about in this program. Things are not as simple as they often appear. And so often I hear good people, all good people, talking about these subjects, but really only digging themselves in deeper. For all intents and purposes, Israel is a Jewish state. It is recognized as a Jewish state. The rest of the world looks upon Israel as a Jewish state, a nation that is founded on this religion that Thomas Jefferson, the author of our Declaration of Independence, referred to as a depraved religion. And it is this depravity that makes it possible for this government over there, which is established on stolen land. And yes, it was on stolen land, despite what Dave Champion, this new host here on RBN, has said. It was stolen land. It was stolen from the historic control of the Arab people, whether you want to call them Palestinians or not. Yes, folks, it is on stolen property. And we have seen such utter horror carried out by the state of Israel since 1948, and even in those days and years leading up to the establishment of the state of Israel by the people who set that nation in motion. You know, I mentioned on Hashem Talawi's program when I called in one time that, you know, when my first recognition of the problem of Palestine first came to the fore back when I was, I guess, about maybe 14, 15, 16, yeah, about 14, 15 years old, maybe even a little younger than that. I looked at it from a strictly American geopolitical viewpoint, at least my own pro-American geopolitical viewpoint, and it turns out this is exactly what a lot of our military leaders like General George Marshall and Secretary of Defense Forrestal and so many, many other great military leaders thought at the time when Israel was being established. They said, as I thought years later without even knowing what they thought, that it didn't seem like it was very much in America's interest to be allied with this tiny little country, a beggar state, a welfare state, when there were hundreds of millions of Arabs, Christian and Muslim alike, and hundreds of millions of Muslims around the planet. And yet, because of the power of the Jewish lobby in this country, America has got itself into this horrible morass. And now, many, many years later, we're seeing daily the human plight that comes with it. Yes, I am pro-Hamas, ladies and gentlemen. I am pro-Hamas. Quote me on that. Quote me on that, ladies and gentlemen.
Here's Here's Dr. John Mattson, a naturopathic doctor, and his views on Cartavite.
I would like to thank you, Don, for making my job so much easier, because your products just make it so simple, right? To fool around with a lot of exotic things that don't work, we can just put them on Cartavite and things start to work almost right away. I've had dozens of patients with heart problems who have corrected them. And what it's doing, there's so much garlic in there that has a yeast-killing effect. That yeast is a big problem in the gut, pushes the liver hard. It also has metal chelating effect. And most of the other herbs in there, I find that strengthen the arteries. They help to neutralize free radicals. Your remedy is as close to what we do in our program as you can get as far as one supplement goes. It's working on the gut. It's working on the liver. It's working on the arteries. What more can you ask for?
For more information or to order your Cartavite, call 1-877-928-8822. Cartavite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or tincture. Our website is heartdrop.com.
Pain. It's a warning signal to the body, the same as that warning buzzer is to your car. They both are signals that you have trouble that needs attention. Cutting the wire to the warning sound sure doesn't fix the problem of the car, and taking a pill to numb the brain to kill the pain sure doesn't fix the problem of the body either. If you're sick and tired of being sick and tired all the time, try Lee's Fountain of Youth. Be clean, healthy, happy, and young. Call 740-783-0021 today. The Lord didn't make the body to have pain. That is just a warning signal to get your attention that the body has a problem and you need to fix it, not take a pill to numb the brain. Lee's Fountain of Youth works with Mother Nature to clean the body and jumpstart your circulation to heal your cells. The Fountain of Youth is the only thing in the world with the same universal electrical energy as the body, and just 2 hours in the fountain will pull the heavy metal toxins out. Visit leesfountainofyouth.com or call to ask about your free visit to Lee's Fountain of Youth, 740-783-0021. That's 740-783-0021.
Take a stand for health. Life Change Tea. We ship worldwide. France, Germany, London, Australia, Finland, and more. Join the thousands that are making the step for a healthy body. Flush out toxins. Lower blood sugar levels. Annihilate acid reflux. Lose weight. You can do it. It's time for change. It's time for health. Grab life. Turn from death. The chemicals in the air will only get worse. Clean your body now with Life Change Tea. Order online, getthetea.com. That's getthetea.com. Or call us. Friendly operators are standing by. 928-308-0408. You've heard it. 928-308-0408. Getthetea.com. It works.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Michael Collins Piper here. Those of you who have read my book, Dirty Secrets, which is a compilation of my writings actually put together by Victor Thorne and Lisa Giuliani of WingTV.net, will recall that there is an interesting article in there, and I don't claim to be an original researcher in this matter. Many, many others have written about it, including Jewish-American writer Robert Dreyfus in his book, I think it's Deal with the Devil or something like that. But in any case, I wrote in there about the fact that many years ago, when the Israelis were trying to undermine the secular Palestinian movement led by Yasser Arafat, Israel started propping up Hamas, which, of course, is an Islamic fundamentalist organization. Well, again, it's no secret to those who know the story about what's going on over there in Palestine. And as I've always said, I don't take a position vis-a-vis Hamas or Fatah. I leave that up to the Palestinians themselves to decide. But in this particular instance where Hamas is so valiantly fighting against these criminal monsters in defense of the Palestinian Christians and the Palestinian Muslims, Christians and Muslims alike, I do support Hamas in their efforts to dislodge Israel and to defeat Israel. But in any case, guess what, folks? The other day, the Washington Post had an article. They called it an analysis. Unfortunately, I don't have it in front of me. But basically, they outlined in about 5 paragraphs just precisely what I have outlined to you. So the Washington Post can say, Yes, we have written about it. But how many Americans, particularly the Christians who follow Toad John Hagee and others, and Pat Robertson, that big-time crook out of Virginia, how many of these deluded Christians who are being led like lambs to the slaughter by these pro-Zionist, quote-unquote, Christian leaders, how many of these Christians know that dear little Israel helped prop up the Palestinian Hamas movement against the secular Fatah organization led by Yasser Arafat? Not many. Not many, folks. Well, you know, I commented a number of times about my concerns about these stories saying Barack Obama was really born in Kenya or that he wasn't a U.S. citizen. And, you know, I know a lot of people swore by them. I never quite believed them for a variety of reasons, which I'm not going to get into, and I don't intend to debate it. If someone wants to call in here and argue about it, I'm not going to argue about it because I don't make it a specialty. But suffice it to say, I have been saying from the beginning that I had some doubts about the stories, particularly because Jerome Corsi was one of the people who was promoting the story, and particularly because a lot of these stories about Obama's alleged birth in Kenya were coming out of hardline elements in Israel, and that's a fact. In fact, a lot of the people who are quoting the stories about Obama are quoting stories that are quoting the stories coming out of Israel. Well, now we have the Globe, supermarket tabloid with the headline, with a big picture of the president-elect, or whatever you want to call him. He's generally acknowledged to be the president, whether you like him or not. The headline says, "Where Obama was really born," with "really" in color highlights. "In this hospital, 8,000 miles from the U.S., new shocking charge. Is his inauguration against the law?" The Globe, ladies and gentlemen, is one of the great tabloids. I don't mean it's great. It's just one of the big tabloids. Every supermarket, drugstore, even small stores across America. All of these tabloids are all owned. All these tabloids are owned, ladies and gentlemen, by a holding company controlled by a guy by the name of Roger Altman, a former Under Treasury Secretary in the Clinton administration. Roger Altman, not to be confused with Robert Altman, who's married to Linda, God, I'm getting old. What's her name? That good-looking brunette that played Wonder Woman, Linda, whatever the hell her name is. Anyway, he's a big-shot Washington lawyer who got in trouble a few years ago. Roger Altman, though, is a hardline supporter of Israel whose control of this company, he controls this large company, which is based upon investments from very wealthy Jews, and they, in fact, then did buy all of the tabloids. And I'm telling you, folks, it means something when these tabloids, which really normally deal in Hollywood gossip and things about Oprah and her boyfriend and how much weight she's lost, they're putting out the story to middle America, to the uninformed, that maybe Barack Obama really is an illegal president. Now, I hear some of you out there saying, oh, no, 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 what they're really doing is trying to discredit the story by saying it's something out of the tabloids. No. Ladies and gentlemen, no. These tabloids have a history of floating stories for political reasons. The National Enquirer was controlled by Generoso Pope, and his Generoso Pope had ties to organized crime. His son, Generoso Pope Jr., worked for the CIA. Anybody who has studied the tabloids knows that they have a long history of floating stories. So what I'm here to tell you, folks, is that this is just another attempt to delegitimize Barack Obama in the minds of a lot of people. And it's coming from a tabloid that is owned by a holding company controlled by some of the most powerful Jewish families and financial interests in the face of the planet. Something to think about, folks. I know a lot of you Obama haters out there don't like hearing me say that, but I'm just giving you the facts, ladies and gentlemen. They are facts that I've given you. Check the story out for yourself. Check out the history of who owns the tabloid. Why are they putting this story out there?
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Would you walk around with your credit card number displayed on your back for anyone to read? Of course not. But if you have one of the 50 million new contactless credit and debit cards in circulation in your wallet, that's exactly what you're doing. I'm Walt Augustinowicz, founder of Identity Stronghold, and we think this is information you need to know. You may not even realize you already have one of these cards because they look physically just like the old card. The difference is an RFID chip hidden inside the card that makes radio communication with the card possible right through your wallet, purse, or pants pocket without you ever removing the card. Pickpockets no longer even have to touch you to get your information. Our company realizes the privacy danger this represents, and that's why we manufacture the Secure Sleeve. The Secure Sleeve is a patent-pending card sleeve that contains a radio frequency barrier, preventing radio signals from reaching your card. You can get more information and purchase the Secure Sleeve online at idstronghold.com. That's idstronghold.com, or call us at 800-610-2770.
Hi, this is Tommy John. I may not be pitching for the major leagues anymore, but that doesn't mean I don't like to stay active. But like you, I get those pesky joint pains that come with age. So I take GoFlex. GoFlex is the 1-2 punch to knock out pain. It has an FDA-approved cream to quickly relieve joint pain and a doctor-approved vitamin that will guard your mobility and flexibility. So if you're suffering from pains associated with arthritis or the aches that come with age, GoFlex will help you. I know firsthand what pain is like. Years ago, they did a surgery on my arm so famous that they named it after me, the Tommy John surgery. Today, I don't let joint pain slow me down, and neither should you. If you're suffering from minor aches and pains, even the kind associated with arthritis, try GoFlex, risk-free. Thanks to GoFlex, even at my age, I can still throw batting practice.
To order GoFlex risk-free, dial 800-362-5848. That's 800-362-5848. 800-362-5848.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring the freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to libertystickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's libertystickers.com, or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Gentlemen, to the one program I do believe that has formally announced its commitment to fighting the causes of anti-Semitism, not the symptoms. We leave fighting the symptoms of anti-Semitism up to the B'nai B'ris and other organizations and other people who want to curry favor with them. But no, here, folks, we address the causes of anti-Semitism. Well, on a lighter note before we go to the callers, I've got a lot of callers lined up here, and I was going to talk about one of our favorite topics. Was Adolf Hitler really a Jew? Was he really a Zionist tool? We'll hold that for another night. I thought I might bring this little amusing item to you. St. Elizabeth's, a famed mental institution here in Washington, D.C., is now going to be turned into headquarters for the Department of Homeland Security. Well, you know, my friend, the big shot lawyer, who's a real big believer in Homeland Security, you know, I clipped this article out and I've scribbled on it. I scribbled this note to him over lunch. I'm going to mail it to him. I say, I know you absolutely love the Homeland Security Department, but I can't think of a more appropriate place to locate it. You know, my friend is so devoted to fighting the Arabs and the Muslims that, you know, unfortunately now his son, who's a really fine young man, his son has bought into it, and his son is now going to be studying Arabic so he can learn the tricks of the Arabs and the Muslims. But, you know, I told my friend, I said, you know what's going to happen? He's going to start studying Arabic, and as a consequence of that, start learning Arabic culture and start meeting Arabic people. And one day, he's going to bring home a pretty Arab girl. And the whole scenario is going to change. Oh, I can't wait to see it happen, ladies and gentlemen. I look forward to the day when I can tell you that that prediction came true. Well, in any case, we're going to go right to the callers here. First caller up is Andrew from Ohio. Andrew, welcome aboard.
Hello, Mike. I just wanted to comment about the book listing at the Barnes Review. I heard you talking about it last week, and I just finished the book you put together, Appeal to Reason. And I also read the biography of Willis Cardo by George Michael. And he's had quite a life story. It's real impressive, everything he's overcome. And I also went to the library and picked up Imperium by Francis Parker Yoki.
You were able to get it in the library?
Yeah, the public library here has it, and I also got a couple books by Lawrence Dennis.
Oh, really? Oh, my God. That sounds like a pretty good library. I might want to join.
Yeah, it's a public library here in Cincinnati.
Don't mention it. Don't mention where it is.
Okay. And
we don't want to get those books stolen from the library.
And I'm also going to go get a couple books by Oswald Spengler.
You know, I've never read any of those works. They're rather ponderous, I'm told, but maybe I should sometime when I have the time.
Yeah, but, Imperium's a real interesting book. I'll probably end up reading that about once a year.
Yeah, that's one of those books that you can't fully understand it by reading it just one time. And you'll come across things, and this is the same with the works of Lawrence Dennis, who you mentioned there. I find when I'm reading those books, there's something I'll agree with, there's something I'll disagree with, something I agree with, but on the whole, they make you think. And that's a good book. A book that makes you think is a good book.
Okay, that's all I have.
All right, Andrew. Well, I hope you enjoy your reading.
Okay, thanks a lot.
All right, thanks for calling. All right, folks, yeah, that's the new book. It's an assembly of Willis Cardo's writings entitled An Appeal to Reason. It's available from the Barnes Review and from American Free Press. All right, let's go to California with John. John, come on up.
Hey, Mike, Happy New Year.
Yeah, well, like our other listener said, 2009 already sucks, but let's hope it gets better.
I knew it was going to suck before it started. Anyway,
I had
a chance to talk to Mark Glenn while you sat in for you. I tell you, it's great. He really gets upset when he gets upset. We were talking,
you know,
and I didn't get much time to talk. I brought up the idea of this in this war when the Palestinians fire a rocket. They never say where it went or how many Israelis have been killed. You always hear, about 100 times more Arabs and Palestinians. They never say how many Israelis are killed or wounded or anything.
Well,
they never say how far the rocket
The other night
killed.
On the show, I went through some statistics. Basically, what it comes down to, I measured a chart in the Washington Post, and it bears repeating. I've told many people about this in conversations here in Washington. Over the past 10 years, if you stack up the Washington Post chart, you find that 9 inches worth of Palestinians have died, and 2 12/16 inches of Israelis have died. So who has suffered more? You tell me if you want to use raw figures.
Yeah, well, like I said, yeah, they don't put the numbers out, but I heard what you said on that. But
yeah, I mean, and by the way, incidentally, I was talking to a friend of mine earlier who periodically tunes into this program, and he had heard Mark Glenn on the show the other night, and he said that, we all know this, but he said it, and he said he wanted me to mention it on this program, that he just considers Mark Glenn to be absolutely brilliant, a real serious analyst of what's going on today and what's going on in the past, and I think that's correct.
Yeah. Hey, I don't know if you've heard recently about Joe the Plumber. He has a new job. He's going to be a reporter over there to talk to all the average Joes in Israel about what's going on.
Well, I tell you what, that guy sure knew how to work the election, didn't he? I saw that story. I wasn't even going to comment on it, but I'm glad you did.
No, I
he knows where his bread is buttered.
And
I guarantee you he ain't going to be over there reporting on what's really happening to the Palestinians.
Well, they won't let him either, I'll probably tell you that.
And they won't let him, that's right.
Yeah. Hey, I finished your book, in the White House. That was great. And as I said before, even though it's fiction, it's a breath of fresh air. You can
always think about
what might really happen, and it could.
I don't expect to become president myself, but I do think that that scenario, as I outline in the book, could happen, and we could have a revolution in this country. And I would like to hope that at least some of the policies that I recommended in the book would be put into action, because we really do need change in this country, although I'm afraid we're not going to get it until we get some real drastic action to bring about the change.
No, but I think if a lot of people read, at least they know it can happen.
Mm-hmm.
If enough people get, you know, the way
that's
they
right.
do
it. Well, that's why I wrote the book. I had a lot of fun writing it, and I got a lot of nice comments about it.
Yeah. I wish there were some more chapters I wish you could have written. Just one, for example, is, you know, you prosecute. I love that picture you used of the old Nuremberg war crimes with all the pictures.
Yeah, somebody else did that. I couldn't
all of them because I couldn't make out who all of them were, but some of the faces you could figure
mm-hmm.
out. But another chat would have been like another trial of all the judges. The corrupt judges and prosecutors. That would have been fun.
I'd like to be there to pull the switch on some of them.
Yeah, I wish you would.
All right.
And Mike, take care, and we'll talk to you later.
All right, John, thanks for the good words. All right, let's go south to Georgia with Ryan.
Good evening, Michael.
How you doing, Ryan?
I can't complain.
Good, that's good. That's the best way to look at it.
Michael, I was curious to know if you've ever seen a book entitled Remembering American Wars by Richard Early.
Not off the top of my head. No, I don't know.
Mr. Early is a Vietnam veteran, and he has a problem with elites that refuse to do military service or found ways to dodge it. And this is the most fascinating book. On 5 December, I believe it was, you mentioned something called The Jewish Unit, about Jews that went out there and found jobs away from combat units.
You know, that sounds familiar to me. I think one of our callers may have brought something up about that.
Okay.
Yeah.
But anyway, he documents a lot of service avoiding on the part of Jews, and I really think that if you can get a hold of this book, you ought to check it out. In the meantime, he has a condensed version here online, and if you don't mind, I'd like to tell you how to find it.
No, please, tell me.
Okay, go to the, do a keyword search, the Occidental Quarterly.
Oh, right, okay, all right. Mm-hmm.
And the author's name is Richard Early. Early is spelled Echo, Alpha, Romeo, Lima, Echo, Yankee.
Okay, Early. Okay.
Correct.
You know something? I may have actually, read that piece by him or parts of it. I will definitely check that out, though. That's very interesting.
Oh, yeah. I mean, here it is. For example, I'm just going to read you one sentence here. For the war against Iraq, the Jewish Welfare Board estimated out of about 520,000 American troops in the Gulf, only 500 were Jews. If Jews had been there in proportion to their numbers, almost 13,000, so 25 times the number present, would have been in uniform. I spent a bunch of time in the military myself. I never saw any Jews in any line unit that I was in. Nobody had ever made formation with me.
That's very, you know, that's very, very interesting. Yeah, in fact, you know, I'm pretty sure I've read that piece. In fact, if I'm not mistaken, one time on the show, I did mention it. This has been a long, long time ago, and I actually did some miscalculation, and I overstated the number of Jews who had been in the service, and I got angry emails from people who thought I was trying to promote the Jews by saying they served in much greater numbers than they really did. You can't win for trying.
I hear you.
All right. Hey, listen, I appreciate that. That's very interesting, Ryan.
If you ever get an opportunity, you might want to have him on as a guest. Like I say, he's got a lot of fascinating information on this. Michael, I'm going to let you go, and I thank you for taking my call.
All right, Ryan, thanks for that call. Very interesting. Glad you reminded me about that. All right, let's go to Illinois, home state of one Barack Obama.
Yeah.
Well, actually, I guess he was born in Hawaii, or maybe he was born in Kenya. We have Tom from Illinois.
Hey, how are you, Mike?
How you doing, Tom?
Not too bad. Yeah, there was a second anti-Israeli rally at the Daily Center. Went up to the Israeli consulate off Wacker. So that was interesting. Second week in a row. I don't think everyone's brain dead yet.
You know, I tell you, they're happening all over. I tried to call... I called John McCain's office the other day.
I'm sorry?
I called Senator John McCain's office the other day, and here's all I got to say. Young man answered the phone, and I said, since Senator McCain loves Israel so much, and they hung up on me. What I gathered from that is that there are a lot of people calling Congress very angrily and expressing their opinions about what's happening. And obviously, at least at Senator McCain's office, they didn't want to hear what I had to say.
Oh no! So, and then they vote to condemn Hamas, of course.
Exactly.
Like we're all that stupid.
What's that?
Like we're all that stupid? I mean, it's
yeah. Well, exactly. I mean, see, this is you know, we know what's going on. More and more people are coming to know what's going on. And like I said at the beginning, I really would hate to be a Jew in the days ahead, because people are turning against the Jews and against Israel precisely because of what's happening in Palestine right now. And it is not because Hamas is so bad and Hamas is so violent and they're firing rockets that this is happening. Israel wanted an excuse to go in there and wipe Gaza off the map. You know, to paraphrase someone after 9/11, that he said, we're all Israelis now. Well, I tell you what, we're all Gazans now.
Yeah.
That's exactly what's happening, because you know what? The people of the United States back in 1913 were suffering from Jewish financial occupation through the Federal Reserve even before the State of Israel was established. So we've been Gazans since at least 1913 and before that.
Yeah, you know, there's a good video out that's back on Google. They tried to take it off a few times. It's called Peace, Propaganda, and the Promised Land. I don't know if you've seen that.
I think I've heard about it, and I may have actually seen it. Yeah, that sounds familiar.
I would say for people who are trying to wake up other people, they may want to burn it right away before the Yehudi take it off again. And it's a real good video. But anyway, nice talking. You have a nice weekend, Mike.
All right, Tom, good call. Thanks much. All right, we have got couple minutes before the break. We're going to go ahead and bring up Byron from Canada. Byron.
Hey, Mike, great show. I'll try to be quick.
Yeah, go ahead.
Several points. This Joe the Plumber, he's going to Israel because he said Israel wasn't getting a fair shake in the news media, and he wants to report
the
Israeli
God
side. He wants to interview all of the Israelis and see how they're coping with this war. The other thing I want to say is, Mike, you know, there's a lot of people. Unfortunately, they look at the Gazans and or the Palestinians, and they look, and you know, well, they're a darker complexion than maybe most of the people in the United States are. So, and we all do this. I don't care what, I've done it with other races, and we kind of look at them. Well, they're not one of our own. You know, they don't look like us. So, you know, what the hell difference does it make? And I just want to tell the people, go back to World War II. Look what they did to Dresden. Look what they did to Hamburg when they firebombed the hell out of it. You know, it made no difference. Look at what happened when they had the German prisoners, you know, the blonde, blue-eyed Germans, and they put the Jews in charge of those camps. They, from what I've read and understand what had happened, they were far more vicious than the Germans ever were to the Jews. So it don't matter what color you are, what your hair looks like, what your eyes look like, when there's Jews that's in control of everything, you're going to get treated all the same. You're going to get your ass fried.
Well, it comes back to that culture that celebrates death, and that's exactly what they do.
Yep. In closing, there's a few times I've gotten on the radio and I've made a few disparaging remarks about some of the Americans, how dumb they are. Well, I just got my eyes opened up in Canada here today. Normally, under the previous governments we've had, they've always kept. You know, there was always a slight little bit of a favoritism maybe toward Israel, but they were pretty, you know, they tried to keep it, you know, not too far off balance or, you know, pretty equal. And today there were some rallies, or not today, but over the last couple of days there were some rallies, I guess, up in Ottawa. And the politicians came out, and I tell you, Mike, if you want to know how quickly they've taken Canada over, it's just been in the last 4 or 5 years, they've taken over Canada like they have the United States. The politicians came out, and I mean word for word, echo the same thing that the politicians in the States were echoing.
Oh, I'm sure of that. I remember a few years ago, one of the prominent leaders of one of the parties up there in Western Canada was run out of his leadership position because he dared to say boo to Israel over some matter or another.
Well, even this last election, Mike, we had a gal, her name was Leslie Hughes, and she's kind of a journalist or an editorial person, and she wrote an article about that the 9/11, there was some Jews that was warned to get the hell out of the building. In fact, it was reported in Haaretz. And you know, even though she was not something that she said herself, but reporting what other papers had said, they drove her where she couldn't even run for the Liberal Party. They drove the Liberals then, because they got pressure from the Canadian Jewish Congress, they chased her out of the Liberal Party up here. It's unbelievable, Mike. We got problems. And I tell you, Canada is right there with America. We got to enlighten both countries.
Well, all the people have to stick together against the dirty politicians.
Yep.
All right.
Yeah, I'll let you go there, Mike.
All right, thanks. Thanks for your call. Good talking to you. All right, stay tuned. When we come back, we have, Dave from Massachusetts.
Would you walk around with your credit card number displayed on your back for anyone to read? Of course not. But if you have one of the 50 million new contactless credit and debit cards in circulation in your wallet, that's exactly what you're doing. I'm Walt Augustinowicz, founder of Identity Stronghold, and we think this is information you need to know. You may not even realize you already have one of these cards because they look physically just like the old card. The difference is an RFID chip hidden inside the card that makes radio communication with the card possible right through your wallet, purse, or pants pocket without you ever removing the card. Pickpockets no longer even have to touch you to get your information. Our company realizes the privacy danger this represents, and that's why we manufacture the Secure Sleeve. The Secure Sleeve is a patent-pending card sleeve that contains a radio frequency barrier, preventing radio signals from reaching your card. You can get more information and purchase the Secure Sleeve online at idstronghold.com. That's idstronghold.com, or call us at 800-610-2770.
Hi, this is Tommy John. I may not be pitching for the major leagues anymore, but that doesn't mean I don't like to stay active. But like you, I get those pesky joint pains that come with age. So I take GoFlex. GoFlex is the 1-2 punch to knock out pain. It has an FDA-approved cream to quickly relieve joint pain and a doctor-approved vitamin that will guard your mobility and flexibility. So if you're suffering from pains associated with arthritis or the aches that come with age, GoFlex will help you. I know firsthand what pain is like. Years ago, they did a surgery on my arm so famous that they named it after me, the Tommy John surgery. Today, I don't let joint pain slow me down, and neither should you. If you're suffering from minor aches and pains, even the kind associated with arthritis, try GoFlex, risk-free. Thanks to GoFlex, even at my age, I can still throw batting practice.
To order GoFlex risk-free, dial 800-362-5848. That's 800-362-5848. 800-362-5848.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring the freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com, or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Producer Byron from Canada had mentioned an article which he said he thought was from Haaretz that had been quoted by that lady in Canada. Apparently it was from the Jerusalem Post, just for the record here. All right, we have Dave in Massachusetts. Dave, come on up, or come on down, as the case may be.
Yeah, hi, Mike.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah. Hey, listen,
You know, this business over there in Israel and Gaza and everything, Michael, now, this is what it reminds me of. Israel is the rapist, okay? Gaza, you know, and the poor Palestinians, they're the rape victim. Now, the rapist, well, anyways, the rape victim is beginning to resist the rapist.
That's so right.
So the rapist says to the rape victim, look, don't resist me. If you resist me, I'll not only rape you, but I'll kill you and I'll murder you.
That's exactly right.
Yeah,
that's a very graphic but very correct analogy.
Yeah,
that's exactly what's happening.
Yeah, the poor Palestinians are just supposed to just cower in fear and passively submit to being brutally raped.
Our feminists out there and ladies who are not even necessarily feminists have always said that, you know, women should fight back and stand up for their rights and demand that the government, you know, prosecute rapists and, you know, deal with this problem. Well, that's exactly what the Palestinians are doing, the Christians and Muslims of Palestine. That's exactly what they're doing, and we need to pray that enough people around the world will stand up and fight for them, because obviously the U.S. government is not. A lot of governments are not, but I'll tell you what, I think the situation is only going to get worse, and in the end, it is going to backfire, and backfire badly on the Israelis and on the Jews, the Sephardic Jews, the Ashkenazi Jews, the Khazar Jews, the Jews who don't care about Israel, the Jews who live in Israel and who don't support the government. Everybody is going to suffer as a consequence of what's happening, because everybody's enabling the rapist.
Yep. Yeah, another thing that I think about, Michael, is when you think of the civil unrest in our country, when the blacks back in the 60s and everything, when they were rioting, you know, the young blacks and stuff were rioting. Well, that was similar to like these teenage Palestinians that try to make a homemade rocket and lob it into Israel, and of course it never hits anything. But you know when the
Dave, just for the record, let's not have someone say, oh, Dave said the rockets never hit anything. Yeah, occasionally the rockets do hit something, but anyway, you're right.
Yeah, but more often than not, they don't even hit anything.
You're right, absolutely.
But you know, it's interesting, Michael. Now, the American government didn't call in F-16s into Harlem, into these so-called black ghettos. I mean, we didn't call in Apache helicopter gunships to.
The police commissioners like Frank Rizzo in Philadelphia, who dared to stand up to the rioters, they called him a racist.
Sure, you know. Just more hypocrisy, Michael, you know?
The more things change, the more they remain the same. All right, Dave, thanks for your call. We had Wes from Idaho waiting, but we can't bring him up. Apologies to Wes. We always like to hear from Wes. Folks, be sure to tune in next week, because next week we're going to call it Hamas Salute Week, or Salute Hamas Week on this program. Let's all say a prayer for Hamas for their ultimate victory over Israel. Have a good weekend, folks. Be sure to tune in for the Liberty Hour tomorrow with Mark Glenn and Phil Turney and all other good programming on this network tonight, tomorrow, and every day.
Hello, my name is